Blog Talk Radio.
For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Jeremiah 29:11. Detour is a ministry created as a safe house for men and women to come together without judgment to share their detour in life. Have you ever framed your world only to find out life, roadblocks, settling, being stuck, and suddenly a detour appears? What does your detour look like? This ministry is designed for us as kingdom ambassadors to come together in unity on one accord, to live on purpose through the gospel of Jesus Christ. With God, everything has purpose, even the detours. For more information about the Detour Radio Show, contact Rosalind Farrell at 972-292-8544 or email whatisyourdetour@gmail.com.
Good evening, everyone. This is Rosalind Farrell, and I will be your host tonight on the Detour Radio Show. Before we get started, I want to ask everyone to please mute their line, with the exception of the guest speakers, and you'll have the opportunity to unmute your line and ask the guest speakers questions or make comments. Before we get started, I would like to open up with prayer. Oh, Father God, I come to you tonight, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, oh God, for another opportunity, oh God. Father God, I thank you, God, for the guest speakers on tonight, oh God. I ask that everything that is said on tonight, oh God, is all for your glory, oh God. I thank you for this platform, oh God. I thank you for kingdom-minded ambassadors, oh God. Father God, I thank you that your will be done on tonight, oh God. Father God, I thank you and I honor you and I give you all the praise and glory and all these things I pray in your loving son Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, I am so excited about tonight as we wrap up Women's History Month. It's been an amazing month just to honor and celebrate women across the world. So I appreciate co-pastor Ware, Anita Ware. I appreciate you, Pastor Melba Boyd, and I appreciate you, my friend, Murray. So thank you again, ladies, for joining me on tonight. I'll go ahead and get started. I'm going to introduce each of our guest speakers, and we'll go ahead and get started. So first I start off Melba Riley Boyd. She is a believer of Jesus Christ. Her belief and trust in the Word of God has helped her gain personal success as a pastor, a wife, and mother. She's married to the late Earl Boyd for 15 years. Melba has enjoyed her two children, four grandchildren, and one great-grandchild. With degrees in pastoral care and social work, for over 35 years, Melba has served as a bereavement coordinator and counselor. The Almighty God has given her tools that are effective and proven to bring victory to the lives of those in need. So without further ado, I would like to introduce our callers to Pastor Melba Boyd. Do I have you on the line tonight?
Yes, I am.
Thank you. Thank you, Mom Boyd. All right, our next guest speaker is Murray Gilbert McCann. Murray is the CEO of Strategic Solutions Plus, a consulting firm located in Illinois. Launched in spring of 2012, the firm was founded with the purpose of supporting nonprofit organizations and small engagement and project management services. With over 20 years of business management experience working with public, privately held, and governmental organizations, Murray has been instrumental in business startups, acquisitions, and strategic and growth strategies. She has consulted with businesses in the capacity of operations manager, business manager, and vice president of operations and director of human resources and training. In these roles, she was responsible for full operational planning, including the creation of employee manuals and operational policy and procedure handbooks. In addition, she brings a multidimensional talent focused primarily in the areas of systems performance improvement, operation efficiency, diversity, equity, and inclusion. She is a graduate of Governor State University with a bachelor and a master of public administration with a certificate in public management and leadership and organizational development. She is currently completing her PhD at Walden University in public policy and administration with a focus on healthcare policy. She is a proud daughter of her parents who have been married for 54 years and the second youngest child of five. Murray's future goals are to expand her portfolio of business offerings and to continue and effectuate social change within underserved communities. Without further ado, do I have Murray on the line?
I'm here.
Thank you, Murray. Thank you for joining us tonight. I appreciate you. All right. And we also have co-pastor Anita Ware. Anita is on a mission to spread the gospel of Christ to hurting and broken people everywhere. Theological Seminary, holding a bachelor's degree in theology and master's degree in biblical studies. She currently serves as co-pastor and co-founder of Love Fellowship Outreach Ministries. She is a proud owner of Anita's wearable $5 jewelry, Paparazzi, and she encourages so many through this business. Her spiritual gifts of prophecy, exploitation, and healing enables her to empower God's people. She loves God and the people of God. Without further ado, do I have Co-Pastor Ware on the line? Make sure I have everyone unmuted. Do I have Co-Pastor Anita Ware on the line? Co-Pastor Anita, where are you on the line? Where she is? For those of you that have just joined, please mute your line. I want to give the guest speakers the courtesy of no interference or interruptions as they're answering the questions. So if you could, please mute your line. Thank you. All right, we're going to go ahead and get started, and I'll reach out to Anita to make sure she has the dialing number to call. You on here? Okay, how you doing? Okay, thank you.
I'm sorry.
I'll reach out to Anita. No worries at all. Okay, without further ado, I'm going to go ahead and get started. So we'll start with you, Pastor Boyd, then we'll go move to Murray, and then Co-Pastor Anita, you'll wrap up. So the first question I have for you, Pastor Boyd, is to take us on a journey of your why.
A journey of my life? Is that what you said?
Of your why. Why?
Why? Okay.
Yes. What has inspired you? Anything that you're doing in your pastoral journey that has, when you wrote your book, anything of why you're doing what you're doing?
Okay. You know, I can start from an early age when I was a young lady about 13 years old. My mother, when I finished working at home, she would always send me to help elderly, like the mothers of the church, and I could name them a ton of them. But she always said, an idle mind is the devil's workshop. And as I would go on these journeys and assist in the homes, the number one thing they wanted me to do is help them read, because, again, I say they were elderly. They couldn't read their bills and certain things, and I would help where I can. But I'm making a long story short, in that time at an early age, the Lord, I know now, had given me purpose in life, because I said when I grow up, I want to be able to help the elderly. And that's one place where my heart is. When I graduated from high school and headed to college and all, I had no problem with my focus. And my focus was, of course, a degree in social work, because, you know, that's many cultures, not just the hurting elderly. There's also the children, young people. I really love, I'm energetic, and I love being around children, and I just like important things in their life that are really important, especially these days. So that was kind of where the journey started. But throughout my life, of course, I was always in church. And so I learned a lot of things there. And, of course, like any young person, I'm not saying that I always stayed in the order that God ordained, but I did stay in the building because my parents were insistent. Got early at an early age. I married and we stayed married. We were married for 35 years, and you did point out the fact that he departed and chose to go to heaven. I believe that was in January. But so I have stuck with the journey throughout the years. He and I grew together in marriage, and there were, of course, ups and downs and other things. College started for me after we were married, and just make that story short also, we decided to work together, and we grew in word, and indeed our lives were transformed. And not only did I have that career in social work that I loved, when I worked in hospice and home health, I still do that, just not full time. But in working with the church, and I you know, worked in every department at the church as a teacher, I guess the young adults teaching, on the mother's board, this, that, and the other. And from there, the Lord had developed my heart in studying the Word of God, and I love worship and praise. And so I was there for a period of time in those things until the Lord called my husband and I out to pastor church. We were both called in the ministry. And that's kind of where things started. That's where I am today. I love the Word of God. I love all ages of teaching, and I thank the Lord for gifting me. I did have to go to college because I was not a person that was just very friendly like some people are and just talk to everybody. I had to be taught. I had to be taught public speaking. I had to be taught confidence in the things that I knew. And I'm just still transitioning, of course, in all of those things. The Word said, don't be conformed to the world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, so you can prove what is that good and acceptable Word of God. So I am still being transformed. My heart is with the Lord, and I have other things in mind. And, of course, you notice that the Lord did, out of all of that experience and knowledge, I did write my first book that was finished in November, right before my husband's death, and we viewed it together. And I have other things that God has planned for me. So that's just kind of, that's my why.
10:21, man. Mm-hmm. She just turned 21, man. What happened?
And you mentioned you wrote your book and it published back in November. Can you just give us a snippet of what your book is about and what inspired you to write it?
Okay. I was inspired, of course, by the Holy Spirit to write it, in the fact that the Lord had introduced me to so many people that had so much pain. And as I was working, you know, as a chaplain in hospitals, just in many different cities and whatever, you know, I and at the bedside of people, many, of course, on hospitals that departed from this world, and they would always ask me about pain, you know, and they, and many of them thought that God was punishing them for something that they had done wrong. Most people think, you know, we teach in the church, you know, God won't put any more on me than I can bear. That is not necessarily a statement that I would make, because I don't believe that God puts pain on people. Jesus said, I didn't come to bring judgment or pain, but I came so that the world might be saved through me. So we, and then he says that also with loving kindness I draw you, and so I was just not accepting that God was the one that punishing people, and so I just began to search the Word of God real deeply. And, you know, he said, with loving kindness, I draw you. I wanted to know more about his love. And so I didn't see a lot of books related, a lot of information that distinguished that the pain is not, did not come from God. And, of course, I started in the book of Genesis. I started from the very beginning. I continue to search the Word of God. And I noticed that when God created this perfect earth and he placed Adam and Eve in the garden, the Bible says everything that they had was good. It was perfect. It was nothing but joy there. There was no pain mentioned at all until after the fall of Adam. And, you know, he, of course, Eve didn't know the instructions. Adam gave her the instructions, but it was all on Adam because that's who God gave instructions, not to, well, you know, it says eat of the apple, and he chose to do that. But after that, just making it short, that I also noticed that when, because God fellowshiped with Adam every day, just as he comes to fellowship with us, and it's up to us to allow him to do so. When the Lord went to fellowship with Adam in the garden, and Adam, he had to search for him because now, you know, he was separated from God. So Adam had fear. And so when the Lord found Adam, he said, where at Adam? First of all, he said, where are you at? And Adam didn't respond. And when the Lord found him, Adam said he was hiding. He was hiding from God. And, you know, and God already knew what Adam had done even before he said it. And he said, Adam, why are you hiding? And I know that God does not want us to hide. He wants to draw us. And anyway, I had such a, you know, had to really search and let people know. And that's what I do in this book, but I do it in more than one way. The Word of God is there. And, of course, I want it all to be drawn. So I did it in a way that others would understand. And it's up to them that God is not punishing you. That's just something that he would not do. Adam chose a different direction, and still the Lord searches for us. He says, come to me. Don't turn from me. And, well, anyway, you didn't ask me all that. But the fact is, that's what caused me to write the book. And if you'll notice very quickly, there are multiple pains. So the second thing was that when you say pain or something, most people are grief. Let's just use that word. Most people think that somebody died. But if you would look through my research in the Word of God, but also in looking back at many things, pain is not can be many things. Pain can be that, you know, your health changed, your job changed, you know, or your child left home, or somebody went to jail. But anyway, so grief relates to all of these things, but most of us think that grief only relates to somebody died. And so I just wanted to open that up. You know, I do some monthly teaching related to that so people know you're hurting from a divorce. You're hurting from so many things. And, you know, God has given us the way to deal with that pain. And we can't just say to people, well, I remember my day, younger day, the people will say, well, just keep praying. You'll be all right. But, you know, also I wanted us to know as a people, especially our culture, we do not believe in any type of grief support. Most of my support groups, you know, they're all white, to be honest. But our people just don't attend that. And that's why we have, that's why we struggle. Anyway, that's what led me to write the book. And I have many people that ask me questions about it. Number one, God is not punishing you. Number two, yes, you are grieving. And number three, God is there to get you out of that, give you ways.
Amen.
That was
amen. All right. Thank you. Yes, thank you so much. For breaking it down, I asked you that for a reason because, of course, this is what the radio show is about. It's about a detour, right? We have a detour in life, whether, like you said, you have pain, you are grieving, you went through a divorce, you went through a breakup, whatever your detour is in life. What I recognize as you were talking is you had a detour, but you also recognize what your purpose was. God had a purpose and he had a plan and he stayed the course. So thank you. Thank you so much for sharing that. All right. So, Marae, let's move on to you. Can you share with us your why? Your why of the journey of what you're doing, what you're doing?
Good evening, everyone. I think my why is better said as why not. I was raised, I'm a product of the inner city, but fortunately I did not experience a lot of things that are currently happening in the city or that happened previously in the city. I was blessed to have a two-parent home, and I experienced a lot of things. I sang in a multicultural choir growing up, so I traveled the world internationally singing. And so my experiences in life were different than some of my counterparts. And so one of the things that I've noticed as I've gotten older, because I too had detours, I have had two marriages that were not successful. And so I've dealt with the hurt and the pain and even some embarrassment that goes along with being a child of married parents of 54 years and having two marriages that were unsuccessful. I dealt with the stigma of if your parents can do it, why couldn't you do it? And I would like to believe that they don't, you know, currently make the men like they made my daddy back in the day. But I would like to think that I favor my mom, so I won't say they don't make the ladies like that anymore. But I like to think that some of my experiences helped to trigger and helped me to have blinders off of my eyes, and I was able to see things a little bit more in depth as it related to people that were underserved, people that were not getting what they needed, people who were fighting against brick walls, people who kept getting no's instead of some yeses. And one of the things that I realized in going through this pandemic and becoming better centered, not only in my faith, but in my relationship with Christ, is that sometimes you just have to sit down and listen and not listen to all of the noisemakers around you, but listen for the word and the voice of Christ. And so I was told I quit my business in 2019 and took on a full-time job because I thought that's what I was supposed to do. And among the pandemic, I was one of the people that was laid off from my job. And so I took 90 days to strategically plan what I would do next. Where am I going? What am I looking to do? And it's great to have a job. It's great to have a career. It's great to identify what you need to do every day to be able to be self-sufficient. But I also realized that I didn't want to just punch a clock for someone else and not get any fulfillment. I wanted to have a purpose, and I wanted my life to be purpose-led. And I wanted to be able to come home at the end of the day and feel like I've impacted someone or something. And so my why is I had people that fed into me. Even the teacher that called my dad when I was skipping school in high school, even the counselors that told my dad and my mom, you need to get her into some programs and get her to do something different, even when my mother fussed because I was trying to become a wayward child, those things helped to build me and helped to create my why. Looking at adversity from people on the outside and saying, hey, I never want to do that or have that as a part of my story. Because it's not just when you're born and when you die. It's what you do in between those two dates that really makes an impact, not only on your life, but future generations and even those before you who may not have lived out their best life. I've had older people come to me and say, you know what, Marae, I see you. I see what you're doing. I see how you're putting forth the effort, and I want to go back and do this. I want to enroll in school, or I want to start school. I have friends that have started school because I started school, and I started school late. I was 26 years old before I ever walked into a college classroom, and I'm proud that through everything that I've had to go through, while it sometimes bent me, it never broke me. And so I think my why is, why not? Why shouldn't I be doing it? We're so quick to pass the buck and say someone else should do it, someone else can do it, but why shouldn't I be doing it? And so that's what my why is. That's what my purpose is. My purpose is to effectuate social change. My purpose is to do better today than I did yesterday and to be better tomorrow than I am today. And so I don't always meet the mark. I don't always do it with the same conviction that I may be currently speaking in, but I always know that there's always another second, hopefully. There's always another minute, hopefully, and prayerfully. And so I try to live my every moment as if it is my last moment and hoping that I'm impactful in some way. Thank you, Roz.
You're welcome. My God, Marae. Oh, my God, I was getting chills as you were talking because I, too, just had a more recent conversation with you after I read your bio, and I'm like, my God, this is someone that is in my circle, someone that I call my friend, and she is doing what I've been inspired to do for years. And one of the things that just impacted me is you said, how can I help you? And that spoke so many volumes, Marae, when you said that to me. And you also told me this, and I was in my mind saying, you know, I got to do this, and I got to do this. So until I get this together, you know, I'm going to wait. You said, no, you can't wait. You got to go. So that impacted me. So thank you. Thank you for your wisdom. Thank you for your words. That spoke volumes to me. So thank you. Thank you for sharing and just being transparent of your why. I do appreciate it.
No problem.
All right. Okay, Co-Pastor Ware, let's move on to you. Share with us your why.
Good evening, everyone. Good evening, Rosalind. Thank you for having me on. Can everyone hear me okay? Because my phone be clowning sometimes. Can you all hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay. I'm thankful for this opportunity. So my why, this was strange when you asked me this question because I sell paparazzi. And paparazzi, one of the things that they always challenged us to do was to go live and tell people our why. And I never did it because I would always sit back and wonder, what do they mean? What do you mean by my why? And one day I was sitting, this just happened not too long ago. I was sitting in my room and I was praying like I always do back here in my office where I am right now. And I was sitting here, and I thought about my journey throughout life, and I thought about all the things that I had faced in my life. And I realized, and I called, and I told my husband, I said, I think I realized what I'm supposed to be doing. And he said, he kind of looked at me strange because he was like, okay, you know, and he was like, well, what is it? And I said, helping people. And the reason why I started there is because I got to go back to how my journey started. And when I thought about it, it went all the way back to 1979 when I was a teenager in high school and I got pregnant. And I remember the shame that I and the shame that people made me feel. And I remember that when I had my daughter and I looked in her eyes and I knew I was a mother. And that began my why. And I said, I became a mother and I got to be a mother. I got to take care of my daughter. So my why became her. And then when I became a wife in 96, then my why became being a wife. And then I had other children. So then my why became being a wife, being a mother. And then my why became being a pastor when my husband and I started pastoring in 05. And when my daughter, my youngest daughter, who is 24 now, she moved out when she was 21. And I remember standing in my home looking around like, what am I going to do? Because I've spent my whole life being a mother. Not that I wasn't still a mother, but when you are a real mother, you throw yourself into your children, and sometimes you forget about yourself. I began to think in my mind, like, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? And I didn't realize that all along God was making me into who he wanted me to be. He was creating my why. He was creating everything that I needed to be who I am today, to be able to help people, to be able to minister to people, to be able to help a single mother, to tell her you can make it, to be able to help people like Miss Melba. I really enjoyed her when she was talking about dealing with pain and helping people to deal with the pain and not being ashamed and being proud to be a Christian and being proud to be saved and being proud to be a kingdom citizen and not being ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I just began to think about, I'm 57 years old and I'm really just now beginning to understand my why. And I'm not ashamed and I'm not afraid to say that. That I'm really just now understanding that everything that I went through led me to this why. Why people now call me and want me to pray for them, or why people now do these things. And I realize now that everything that I went through led me to be the woman of God that I am right now. And my why keeps shifting. You know, for me, my why keeps changing because as I get older, I'm realizing the lessons in life that I was taught, being a young mother, you know, pushing and working 2 and 3 jobs so that my children could eat and so that we didn't have to be not knocking anybody else, but this is my story, not having to be on welfare and not having to have anybody dictate to me where I can live and how I can live and being working 2, 3 jobs, pushing myself, not stopping to just smell the roses sometimes, but just going on and on and on. And then when I got to be a certain age and I met my wonderful husband and he began to show me different parts of the world and different parts of life, and he began to pull things out of me that I didn't even know was in me, you know, and I began to become a better person and a better woman. But I didn't realize until just the other day what my why was. And I've always been a shy person, and I'm so nervous right now, but I've always been a person, like Ms. Melba said, I've always been a person who never been a person of many words. I realize now that what I have to say, it will help somebody. So my why now is to be able to help someone. You know, all the life lessons, all the things that I've had, all the pain, all the hurt, all the disappointment, all the letdown has led me to my why of being able to make not just my life better, but other people's lives better. And not just females, but males as well. You know, because we as women, sometimes we just focus on ourselves. But there are men that need help just as much as it is there are women. So that's my why.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Call back the word for sharing. I appreciate your transparency. I thank you for sharing that. I can relate to some of the things you were saying. You know, life happens and it shuts you down. It makes you not want to talk to people. It makes you not want to share your story. But what I realized is that's not what God has for me. God placed me in certain positions and I went through certain things not to keep my mouth shut, it's so I can share my testimony, so I can help the next woman that has gone through something and say, hey, if he did it for me, he can do it for you. So thank you so much for sharing that.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen.
Yeah. All right. I'm going to open up the line now if any of our callers, our listeners have any questions or comments at this time.
Hello?
Yes.
Hi. My name is Lisa. I'm calling just to make a comment about Marae. I agree with a lot of what she said, but she has a purpose that I don't even think she really realized that it's a purpose or a calling for her. This is my best friend, but when I met Marae, my kids were gone. They had graduated from high school. And I don't even think I had been around Marae but a couple of weeks. And she was like, why didn't you finish school? I'm like, I don't know. I was like, I was so busy with my kids. And so I went ahead, signed up, went to school. She did the smallest things, like I worked overnight. She made sure when I got home, I got enough sleep, wake up, get my homework done. She went as far to make sure I had enough pens and paper and things like that. And I went all the way through to finishing my master's degree and started on my doctor, but COVID, I'm taking a break. But she is a true motivator, and she doesn't even have to say much to really encourage you to do something. And she was through every step all the way through to my master's degree. And I went from 2014 until last year straight, nonstop, working full-time, going to school full-time. So, and I thank Marae, because I think if it wasn't for her, I probably would have kept the feeling of I'm too old to go back now. So she's definitely a motivator. I think there's a lot more to her, and I think there's other people that need to listen to her, that need someone like her, especially as a black woman, because she gets you on the right road. And someone that doesn't have to say a lot to encourage you to go somewhere is a special kind of person. And I really think I want to thank her publicly because she did that for me. And she's just someone that we can lean on. We probably get on her nerves, but she's always that go-to person, because on your worst day, she can make it a better day. So I just wanted to say that Marae, there's a lot more people need to know who Marae is. I don't think enough people know. And I think you can do a lot of good, especially with the younger generation, especially the young women. I think you would be awesome with something like that. So that was really all I wanted to say.
Thank you. Thank you. I totally agree. I met Marae through two of my best friends from college, and the first time I was around her, I will say she will keep you laughing, but she had a kindred spirit about her. It was something about Marae that was special, and I kept watching, didn't say a lot, but she is one special woman, so I totally agree. All right. Do we have anyone else that has any comments or questions at this time before we move on?
Yes. My name is Alexis, and I've been on Marae for a little bit over 10 years. And I just wanted to get on and listen to her story because it always motivates me. And I cherish the things that she does for everybody that she comes in contact with, because she is a master motivator. And she has a way of inspiring people by injecting her life journey into conversations and motivating other people. And every time I speak with her, I'm inspired. So I don't want to keep people too long, but I just want to let her know that I thank her, and I'm fortunate to have her in my life in the capacity she's in, and to continue to keep up the good work.
Thank you.
All right. We're going to move on to the next question. So, Pastor Boyd, you discussed and took us on your journey of your why. But we know even going through our journey and going through life, there are some challenges and obstacles that we are that we've had to face. Would you share with us one or two of your challenges and how you overcame those?
Okay. Well, let me just say you are absolutely right. I heard all of the younger ladies speaking about challenges in life. I didn't include too much of that initially. But I did marry at an early age. I was 19. And it was very challenging, even though I stayed with it. And somewhere along the line, the Lord showed me that he had a plan for me. In fact, I read it in the scripture, and he said, I know the plan that I have for you. It is to, you know, prosper you and to meet, you know, that goal that's in your life that I placed in you. And I just kind of started meditating on the Word of God. It was one hurdle per se after the other. When I spoke about going to school, it wasn't like I just jumped up and went with my. I had children. Let's see, I probably had my first one at 19 or 20, whatever. But anyway, had two of them, and I'm really blessed in that. But then I still had this plan. I wanted to do something other than what I was doing. And keep in mind, I hadn't started. I didn't think that college was an option for me. In the first place, I graduated from Lovejoy School. Of course, we know back in that day, in the 60s, we all had handed down materials. I was not very good in my studies because I worked pretty hard in a home environment and didn't have a lot of time to study. When I got ready for college, or my thoughts was, in fact, I was laying on the couch one day complaining to the Lord about, you know, I'm tired of this. I had worked at the hospital. I was working when I got married, so I was still working, but in a low-class job. And so I just at one point thought it was no hope. But at that time, I was laying on the couch. The Lord told me to get up, and he said, you know, stop complaining and do something about it. I live in Edwardsville. The college was about 15 minutes from my house, and I just couldn't imagine myself going to SIU. I did not have any money, and ask me where it came from now, it had to be supernaturally. When God has a plan, he'll meet that plan. It doesn't matter what it is, you know, because I had to trust him at one point in my life. I needed to go to grad school. After I got my undergrad, the field that I was in medical, and I needed a license. They would not allow that because it was just Medicare and Medicaid reimbursement. So they did not allow that. You had to have a grad degree. I didn't think that was a possibility. When I went over to apply at SIU, they told me I was not college material. And, you know, and so I'm not going to stay with that. But there is just one thing behind the other. You know, the Lord just said, just draw close to me. Because my husband was hardworking, and he said, you know what, you say you trust God. You know, I can't help you financially in that, you know, because of the house and all the other things you got to do. But I'm just saying that. So I started college when I was 35 years old. I am 73 now. It was not a piece of cake. I mean, because you said, heard me say that at first, there were many struggles. And so I just had to trust God, and I'm still not where I desire to be. But I do, had to develop a relationship with God independent of my husband. And then finally, throughout the years, we began to, work together, because that was the one thing that kept us through all of the cares of the world. And so that's how, I mean, I'm still, like you heard me say, my husband died, 3 months ago. So people are saying to me, you know, how you going to, as if he was the one that was, that was taking care of me. But I would say at this point, and some time ago, I realized he was not the one taking care of me. Yes, we did work together. But I had to learn how to depend on God first. He is the one that takes care of me, and he is the one that is in me to help me reach the goals that he has planned for me. My next, and there are other goals that I have set, and I intend to meet those goals by the grace of God before I leave this earth. Everything he gave, I heard one man say some years ago, Dr. Miles Monroe, I have a series of his books, and we know he's going to heaven. But the point is, the man said, the richest place in the world is the graveyard. He said, because we as a people die full of God's purpose and plan that is never fulfilled in our life. So we bury them, you know. And when I heard that, I think I might have been about 25. I say, ooh, that is not going to be me. Everything that, you know, that's my confession. First is the confession, right? But anyway, so, you know, I heard that. So I know it's only done by the grace of God. And there's a lot of pain in this world. And I know that the Lord is teaching me how to pay attention to those that have that pain. So that's my motivator. Those are my goals. Some of them, I have another book that I'm in the process of doing, and I will only get there by the grace of God. And as all of you said, is by investing the time. Our time is not just for us. It's for those whom God has given us to serve. And Sister Murray, I think her name was pronounced. I don't want to mispronounce it. But yes, she made a statement. She made a statement, and I've listened to all. It's been a blessing to all. And again, before I forget, sister, thank you for inviting me. But I did want to say just one thing, and I know you have to go on. She said that she has learned to listen. That is a very big goal, because we, you know, learning in school and otherwise, we are not because we are so overwhelmed ourselves, we are not, we are learning to listen. That's a big thing. There are so many hurting people that they don't need food. They don't need some of them a job. They don't need the things that we think they need is not what they need. They need somebody to listen to what they have to say, because most times people already know the answer. They're not expecting an answer from us, but they are looking for somebody to listen, and I want to thank her for reminding me of that.
Yes. Thank you so much for sharing that with us, Pastor Boyd. All right, Marie, we're going to move on to you. Can you explain to us any challenges that you've had to face in walking through your why? Wait one second. We have some interference. Can you please mute your line? Thank you. Sorry about that, Marie.
Sure. I've had quite a few challenges. Most of them have been self-inflicting or self-imposing. I think as you grow up, I was a young wife initially. I was 23 years old when I first got married. And I think when you start life so young, you really don't know who you are. And so I think it took me going through my life and having unsuccessful marriages. And I don't like to call them failed marriages, because I tried. And so I think you don't fail when you try. I think that I was leaning to my own understanding and not asking God for his guidance. And therefore, the marriage was not evenly yoked. And that's why it was unsuccessful. And so I think that would be part of my challenge. Another challenge is that I've always been very headstrong, and I've always wanted to do what Marae wanted to do when Marae wanted to do it and how Marae wanted to do it. And I think it took God knocking me on my tail a few times to make me say, okay, I don't like how that feels when I hit the bottom. And so I had to actually think about it. You know, I have a praying mother and father. And so, you know, they've always said to me, you know, Jesus is your best friend. And, you know, my father's favorite saying is, you don't have to run in front of every Mack truck to know that it's going to hurt you if it hits you. And so I've learned that while I don't like to admit to my parents that
I've heard all of their teachings and their lessons. I've actually had to live some of them and make some of my own mistakes. And I find myself becoming my parents when I speak to my nieces and nephews and other young people about life. And so I think challenges are here because, you know, God gives us free will. He gives us the option to do what we will, but we work under his tandem, knowing that if we follow his law, if we follow the roadmap that he's set before us, that he's already told us this is right or this is wrong. And, you know, if you think back when you were a child and the grandparents used to put your hand on the stove when they kept telling you, don't touch the stove, it's hot. Don't touch the stove, it's hot. And finally they throw your hand across the fire so you can feel that burning feeling. You know, God gives us that. He keeps giving you warning after warning after warning. Marae, that's wrong. Marae, you know you're not supposed to do that. Marae, stop doing that. Marae, why are you doing that? And I had to keep hearing it, and I was ignoring it. And then when I hit the bottom, and my bottom may not be other people's bottoms because everybody's bottom and everybody's low point is different. So what I think is low for me may be something different for someone else, but it was what I considered to be low. When I saw that I was not reaching my highest level, when I saw that I was suffering and could not come out, I couldn't see the end, I couldn't see the light at the end of the tunnel, I couldn't see the forest for the trees, I had to sit down and say, why am I in this position? And the end result was because I put myself there. A lot of places that I was in, I didn't have to be there, but I took myself there, and it took me understanding that that's not the will of God. God doesn't want any of us to suffer. That's self-inflicting. And so I had to make determination that I was no longer going to sacrifice myself. You know, Jesus was sacrificed for us. I don't have to be Jesus. I'll never be him. So why am I hurting myself when I know – even though my father is a great father, my father can't get me off a cross. You know, my father doesn't have that kind of power. So, you know, I had to understand that, you know, I have to make some better decisions for my life, and I have to make better decisions not just for my today but for my tomorrow. And I started doing that, and it's one step at a time. I'm doing it every day. Every day we're fighting against that. We're fighting against, you know, doing right and wrong. That's just the law of the land. We're going to fight against that. But you have to make better decisions for your life in order for you to have a better or more successful life. And so I'm doing that. And I don't always meet the mark, but when I don't, I get back up and I try again. And that's what helps to ward off adversity. That's what helps to ward off the bad things. That's what helps to ward off the spirit of defeat, the spirit of depression. You know, I suffered through all of those things because I was not in the will of God and I was not aligning myself properly. And so I'm still not a Bible thumper. I still don't carry my Bible in my back pocket. But I make sure that I read the word, and I'm making sure that not only am I reading it now, but I'm internalizing it. And that makes a difference. Yeah. And so, you know, I just go day by day, just like all of us do, and I just pray that on my daily journey, my daily walk, that some point in that day I got something right.
Yes. Amen. Amen. Thank you for sharing that, Marae. We're going to move on to Co-Pastor Ware.
All righty. Well, I would say that some of my greatest challenges and greatest obstacles. Well, one of my greatest, I wouldn't say it was a challenge, being a single mother at a young age. That was a great challenge for me. And being a single mother and then having another child at 18 and then having that child at 3 years was one of my greatest challenges and obstacles in moving forward. But I could say for me, my greatest challenge was when I decided that I wanted to live my life for me and I left church. I still went to the building, but my heart, you know how the Bible says you honor me with your mouth, but your heart is far from me? My heart had left the building. And I went out, and I made a lot of mistakes, and I did a lot of crazy things. And I made, like Marae was saying, you know, a lot of self-inflicted pain, self-inflicted pain, self-inflicted challenges. But one day, sitting in a club, the Lord got my attention, and I began to make my journey back to Christ. And I began to, you know, still being challenged, you know, still not really wanting to submit, not really wanting to do this thing the way, because I didn't want to do it the way the church wanted me to do it. I wanted to be, God wanted me to live it. And I began to, on the journey, as they call it, and my life began to change. Things began to change for me. My life began to change. God sent me a godly man. I had been in relationship, you know, with people, but these people never really wanted church. They never wanted God. And in the back of my mind, I knew that I always wanted a relationship with God. And so I began to pray, and I began to ask God to send me a godly man. And God sent my husband, and my life began to change even then. But then, even in the church, I began to face obstacles when God called me into ministry. And, you know, a lot of times in churches, they don't really embrace women in ministry. So that was another obstacle that I had to, you know. So I've had a lot of challenges, but through the grace of God and through beginning to know who I am in Christ and knowing who Christ is in me, I have learned to really just face these challenges head on. You know, I'm learning to do it afraid. I'm learning to just take the step, you know. And so now my obstacles, even though they're still there, and even though challenges still come, I'm learning. I've learned, and you know that song say, I'm learning how to go ahead, to keep living. You know, even if I look back and I just thank God. You know, I just thank God because the obstacles and the challenges came, but they only made me stronger. You know, they only made me better. You know, I'm as Marvin Sapp says, I'm stronger, I'm wiser, I'm better, so much better.
Yeah.
So, you know, what didn't kill me made me stronger. You know, so, yes,
amen.
I faced challenges and I faced obstacles, but I'm still here by the grace of God.
Yes,
amen.
Glory to God. Yes, thank you, Jesus, for that. Thank you, ladies, for sharing that. Truly inspiring, your faith of a mustard seed. You understood, I mean, even though you had those challenges, even though you had those, you know, that people bondage, whatever it was, you still trusted the process. So thank you for sharing that. All right, Pastor Boyd, is there any sound advice that you would like to offer to our callers, anyone that has inspired to start that business, their ministry? Is there any sound advice that you would like to offer?
I'd just like to actually remind them that, you know, it's a good thing, as the other ladies have said, to, first of all, make a commitment to God and allow your dependency to be on him and not something external, because he is one that you can trust. What he has spoken, he'll bring it to pass in your life. Whatever the need is, he will be your provider. And he said, trust me with all of your heart. And that's something, as has been spoken, that's a day-by-day a living, because, again, we have to crucify our flesh daily, because ideally our flesh would want to go into a different direction. But we are living in a day that there is nothing and nobody else that we can really depend on. You know, we can go to our pastors who are, ever those people are in church that we're connected to. But the bottom line is we still have to go back to the Lord himself. He is our creator. He knows the plan that he has spoken towards your life. It is his responsibility with your yielding to the Spirit of God in you to allow him to meet every goal. You will run into obstacles, you know. He say, in this world you shall have tribulation. You'll have trials. They will come. But he did say, be of good cheer, because I have already defeated Satan, who was your enemy. He has no strength. He has no power other than what we give him. So I just want to, and again, encourage everybody, you know, there is nothing that God has given you to do that you cannot accomplish, that you cannot do. And I thank God for you on tonight for the invitation. I know that God had to give you that to reach out also to hurting people. And we all have that assignment to do so, because Jesus is in heaven, but heaven is in us. And we have a heart of compassion. And if you just yield to Christ, he'll be every step that you need. He'll be with you through every step. So just be blessed. And again, thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you. All right, Maria, let's move on to you.
I believe that for the person that is, as I would call it, or my parents would say, dragging their feet, just lift your foot up and lift the other one up and get started. You know, I have long suffered from procrastination. I work well under pressure, and all my life I would stretch some of my responsibilities until right before the deadline, and then I would go into power mode. But what I've realized going through a pandemic and having a lot of external factors you know, weighing down on you, one of the things is you have a lot of extra time. You know, we're quarantining, we're, you know, sheltering in place, and we're still staying home and social distancing. You have extra time. And so, you know, it goes back to, you know, write the vision down, make it plain, and start working on it. One of the things that I've done is I carry a journal with me everywhere I go, and I just write in it, and not necessarily in any format. If I lose my journal, somebody may not be able to read or understand what I've written. But I write things down throughout the day, be it a goal, be it a thought, be it a dream, be it an aspiration. I just write it. And then when I'm sitting down in my quiet space and my free time, I take it and I look at it and I plan. You know, it may be something as simple as crab legs. Maybe that's because I was thinking I wanted to have crab legs for dinner. But there's a process that goes along with obtaining those crab legs to cook and prepare, or either pick up from someplace. And so write it down. Understand what the steps are. Understand what you're trying to achieve. What do you want to accomplish? What's the end game? What's your goal? You know, how do you see this working in your life? What are you hoping to accomplish? All of those questions are questions that I've asked myself numerous of times, and I tweak things all the time, be it making the bed or washing the dishes. I tweak how I do things because you can always perfect something. And so, you know, I'm working towards that. So I would encourage someone to believe in yourself. Believe in yourself. Believe in yourself. We are often our hardest critics. We are often our worst naysayers. So just believe that you can do it and go for it. And don't worry about the time that it'll take to complete something. Don't worry about the cost that it'll take. You know, when you walk in your purpose and you start fulfilling the goals that God has identified as your life and your purpose and your plans, he will make room for you. He will prepare a place for you at the table that you thought you would never be able to sit at. He will make sure that your financing is proper. When I got laid off from my job, I didn't get a check for 3 months from unemployment. But I didn't miss a crab leg meal. Thank God for parents, family, friends. I didn't miss anything. I didn't miss toilet tissue, paper towels, detergent, soap. Every need that I had was provided for. So when you're walking in your identified purpose by God, not by man, but by God, all of your needs will be met. And I will say this as loud as I can, because if I was not a believer before the pandemic, I am definitely a believer now, and knowing that God will provide for those that have chosen him. And I choose him. You know, it's been times when I was shaky on my faith. My faith wavered.
because I was not standing on a solid ground. But I now know that I don't want to be in the stinking sand. And I now know that, you know, you can't be hot, you know, hot or cold or lukewarm. You got to choose what you're going to be. You have to
Amen.
Choose. And I choose to stand firm in my belief that God will provide. I stand firm in believing that if it's something that I have a desire of my heart, that I need to speak to God about it, and we need to talk about it and make the decision. And that's what I've been doing, and I would encourage everybody that's listening under the sound of my voice to decide what you want to do for your life and to do it. Because tomorrow is not promised, as we've been shown during this pandemic. And so make a determination that you're going to do it and go for it. And be great. And be great in doing it. Thank you, Roz.
Thank you. You're welcome. All right, and we're going to go past the where? Any sound advice that you would like to offer?
Yes.
Look, she got pretty excited. I'm over here to guess. But, yeah, you know what came to my mind? When I first heard you say this, it came to me to lean not to your own understanding, but in all your ways to acknowledge God, and he will direct your path. And I like to tell people, do it afraid. You know, even if you're afraid and you don't know how things are going to work out, you don't have to worry about that. Just lean not to your own understanding. Acknowledge God, and he will direct your path. He will make a way out of no way. He will cause you to go before great men. He will make it happen. All you have to do is trust in the Lord. Make sure that you have put God first in your life, because only what we do for Christ is going to last. You know, only what we do for Christ is going to last. People all the time, you know, do it and be great. Like she said, I always say that, be great. And I tell my husband all the time, and I talk about my husband a lot, y'all, because I love him. But I tell him all the time, you are great. You are great. And I don't say that in arrogance, and I tell him I'm not puffing you up and I'm not trying to make you feel. But I want you to know that whatever God puts in you, and this is for everybody, whatever God puts in you, he looks at it and said, it is good. So because God said it's good, then it's good. And if God said it, that settles it. So we don't have to try to outshine each other. I don't have to try to be better than you. I don't have to try to be better than the next person. All I have to do is be who God called me to be, and I'm going to shine on my own. So I would encourage everybody to just shine. Be the light that God has called you to be. In whatever arena he puts you in, be the light.
Yes.
That's it.
Woo. Y'all got me over here like, ooh, yes. Yes, yes, yes. This is good. This is good. But I'm going to allow the callers, our listeners, to make any questions, have any questions or comments. I'm going to open up the lines for them right now.
Woo. Amen. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
My name is John Spence, and I had the pleasure of working with Roger. Congrats.
Hi, John. Oh, my God.
Okay. Because she was an excellent coworker. But I want you women, because I'm calling you women, you are inspiring me at a time where, because I was raised by women. My father was nowhere in sight. And that's for another show. But you keep doing what you're doing, because the world needs you right now. And we have an opportunity to affect not just us, but the whole world. Women are speaking up all over the world. I got a 80-year-old sister that just finished a play, beautiful play, about how they tied everything in from what happened back in Eleanor Roosevelt day all the way up to today. Hopefully I'll get maybe to get a chance and she can speak on it, because I did just invite her.
Yes.
But please,
absolutely. Please
keep it going, okay? Because we need it. We need these voices to be heard. And these young people out here need to start listening to the women who are in their lives. Because you're not going to tell them nothing wrong. And that is the honest God truth. And I'm a believer in God when I tell you If you ask for something, you better be prepared. Because he'll heal you.
Yeah.
He'll make you stronger than you ever thought you could be. But I just want to thank
you. Yes.
God,
yes, thank you. Thank you so much. Yes.
But
it's great hearing
your
voice. Yes.
But here, I'll be here every Thursday. From now on.
All right.
Okay.
Yes, thank you. Thank you so much for calling in. It was great hearing your voice. God bless you. Thank
God bless
you
too, Claire.
Hi,
all
this
right.
is
Did
Tracy.
We have any-
Marae is my sorority sister. I'm so proud of her and the journey that she's gone through thus far. I was inspired by each speaker, and I agreed with everyone that gave feedback on their challenges, their triumphs, where they came from and where they are now. I have so many similarities with all three women, so it's good that they were very honest, didn't hold anything back, and it gives us great determination to keep moving forward one step at a time. So I thank you all for your contribution.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for joining us tonight.
Hi, I wanted to say something. This is Arlinda, Melba's daughter, but I just wanted to say I enjoyed every lady on the panel tonight. What an inspiration. I wanted to personally just tell my mother thank you for the constant encouragement. I couldn't have had a better example of how to be a woman walking in my destiny. My mother spoke about not being a talker. So for many, many, many years, she really wasn't that communicator. But let me tell you something. She was an example. She lived a life of Christ through the challenges, through the ups and downs, the way that she bounced back and changed her journey according to experiences, but she didn't let anything hold her down. She always, you know, looked to God, but she persevered through everything, all of those challenges. And, of course, being in a house like Cookie and I, both having parents that were born again and leaders, leading a church family as pastors, it could be challenging because I too, like the other young lady, I had two divorces, and my parents been married 53 years prior to my father passing away recently. And man, I was like, oh my God, how can I even start to begin to live up to this? But wow, you know, every day it was better, and I realized with God that, you know, I can get through, and I got through those challenges. But just having that example, it was amazing, and it gave me a great childhood, and it definitely prepared me for being a woman, walking in my destiny and living a life, you know, in Christ. So I just wanted to say thank you, Mom, for being the best example I could ever have.
Amen. Thank you.
Thank you, daughter.
Thank you, Arlinda. Yes, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Good evening. Yes. My name is Tamara. Hi, ladies.
Hi.
Hey, gentlemen. I'm sorry. I'd just like to thank you for the platform of Trailblazers that you have on tonight. This has truly been an inspiration for myself. Pastor Anita Ware has been my pastor since 2006. She's my co-pastor, and her husband's my pastor. And I can also call them my friends. She gave you a little bit of what her life was, but I know the woman that she is. I have seen that woman grow into so many different things, and it has encouraged me. I sat side by side with her as we got our bachelor's degree in theology as well as our master's degree in theology. We would have been on our term again that PhD, but due to COVID, it had stopped. But she is such an inspiring woman to me, and I am so very proud of her. I am so very proud of all the trailblazer women that you have on your line tonight. So thank you for this.
Thank you. God bless you.
So hello, everyone. My name is Darlene McDowell, and I'm the sorority sister of Moray. And I wanted to talk about or commend her on getting through the challenges that she faced. And I can say that I saw her getting through those challenges, and she lives what she preaches. She lived what she spoke on tonight, and it's true and it's authentic, and I watched her firsthand when she spoke about getting through the challenge of being without a job and her paycheck. But I watched her, and what she did blew my mind, because even though she didn't have an income coming in, it never stopped her from giving and being a gift to somebody else. And the reason why she's blessed and why she has been blessed and why why it flows in her house, why giving flows with her, is because she's a giver. And even though she didn't have as a replenishment as what we would think when it comes to that 9-to-5 or that, you know, biweekly or weekly paycheck, she didn't stop what she did to get what she got. And so I wanted to just let you ladies know that she lives what she preaches. What she said tonight, I watched her do it, and I've watched her do it day in and day out. So, Moray, I want to tell you I'm very proud of you. I am your cheerleader, probably one of your biggest outside of your parents and your fiancé and everybody else. But I'm very proud of you, and I'm so proud to hear them call you a trailblazer, because that's exactly what I think of you. Thank you, ladies, for sharing on tonight. Thank you for your excellent stories, your powerful testimonies, and giving us those keys and those nuggets so that we, too, can follow the path that you're blazing on tonight, or follow the trail that you're blazing on tonight. So that's what I wanted to say. Ray, I love you.
Thank you. All right. So I'm going to give our guest speakers a chance to, we have about 10 minutes, to wrap it up with, how can someone get in contact with you? Any website, any books that you have, how to purchase your books, or anything that you want to share, because callers will come back and listen to the segment later on. And I'll also be able to share this, and you can send it on to your family and friends once we're done tonight. So, Pastor Boyd, can you share with us any social media, books, websites, or phone numbers where someone can contact you? Make sure I still have that on. Okay, Maria, you want to go ahead and okay, you're okay.
I was just on mute so you wouldn't hear some noise. But first of all, I would say Rivers of Water Worship Center may be in an area that somebody listening, you never know, might be down the street, around the corner. I want them to know that it's very important that you just not have a church building or the name of a church, but that you would, seek after God and join in with the heavenly church, and because he would be the one you're confessing to. And then find a good place where you can be taught the word of God. And, of course, Rivers of Waters, they're at 800 Jackson Street in Madison, Illinois, where we've been for over 25 years. I've been pastor, but also open to anybody. We have a monthly support group related to, my history of working with death and dying and pain and suffering and all of that. And as listeners, there's so many people out there that just need somebody to listen, and that's advertised monthly on social media or by myself or the church. And the other thing, as far as the book is concerned, for some that don't know, The Root of Pain, in that book is a lot of testimonies of others who have had pain, and the Lord has, you know, delivered them from that type of suffering, whether it be through support groups or just sharing their testimonies. And there's no names, of course, but I shared some testimonies of those, because when pain comes, it's just not, and I've heard that on tonight, including myself, not just one pain. It comes in a multitude of pains. And so the Lord is there to deliver us from all pain. So those support groups are available. And also the book can be purchased on Amazon.com if somebody would want to purchase the book, The Root of Pain, either in my name, Pastor Melba Boyd, when you pull it up. And that book, it will help you to understand the origins of the surviving pain and suffering and all those life-changing experiences we have as we are in this world living. So those are my resources.
Thank you. Thank you so much for sharing, Marie.
Well, I am the owner of Strategic Solutions, and so what I do is I help businesses that want to start. I help them learning how to start their business up, which includes articles of incorporation, bylaws, and all of that. I help to write grants, 501c3 applications, and full operational support for any small to large business. So if someone is looking for me, they can find me on Facebook, Marae L. Gilbert McCants, my full name. I'm not hiding from anyone, so I am who I am. Or they can find me on Instagram, Dr. Rae 15, D-R-R-A-E 15. And they can reach me on my cell, 708. I'll actually give you my other cell, 773-960-8416. Again, that's 773-960-8416. And I am available by email, too, which is just my initials, mlgmccants@gmail.com. I want to thank both of the pastors and tonight, because there were some nuggets that I was actually able to hear and receive. And I believe, I don't want to speak out of turn, but I think I might be the baby of the bunch tonight, Cookie. So I thank you, because, you know, we learn from kneeling at our elders' feet and understanding what they've experienced and what they've been through. But I was glad to see that there were some similarities with me and one of the pastors going to school at a later part of life. And the other pastor being married as a younger woman. So I'm glad to see that there were some similarities in that life cycles only continue, and that it's up to us to be able to deal with those cycles and or either break those cycles with the tools that we've been given, and we only learn those tools because of platforms like this. So I take my hat off to you. I'm sorry I called you Cookie. That's what I know you as, but Robin.
You're fine.
I take my hat off to you, and thank you for creating such a platform where people are able to hear and learn, and they're able to communicate. And because I think even during this pandemic, this is a time where people need this. They need to be able to be heard. They need to hear that they are not alone in this battle, in this journey. So I thank you for this, and I look forward to many more shows.
Thank you. Thank you, Marae. God bless you. All right, Co-Pastor Weir.
All righty. Okay, you can, my email, copastorweir@aol.com. On Facebook, my personal page is Anita Weir. On Instagram, I am aweir1963. And then my business is Anita's Wearable $5 Jewelry. You can find that on Facebook as well. And you can also, if you want to be a part of my VIP group, where that's where I post all the jewelry that I order so you can get first dibs, you can join my group. It's Anita's $5 Bling VIP group. It's very simple. Just request to join, and I will let you in. And then if you want to know about our church, it's Love Fellowship Outreach Ministries here in Granite City, Illinois. We are not currently meeting in the building, but we are going live on Zoom on Sundays at 10 a.m. and on Wednesday afternoon at 12 for Bible study. If you want that information, you can contact me in Messenger on Facebook, or you can email me at my email. And I, too, also want to thank all the ladies. I really enjoyed this. I really enjoyed both of the women. I love the wisdom of Mother Boyd. I love the, yes, the tenacity of the other, of I can't, my mind went blank there.
Murray.
But I thank you so much for sharing your transparency, your testimony. It really blessed me. I thank you, Rosalind, for allowing me to be on here. I really appreciate it. You know, and I just, like she said, this is a great platform for people to be able to open up and be able to share. And that's a wonderful thing, yeah, because God let me know sometime last year, he let me know that people are not okay right now. There are some people that are, mm-hmm, really hurting and they're really struggling right now. So to have a place where they can come and receive and come and give and come and ask questions without being judged or without being, you know, told to be quiet or whatever, you know, but I just thank you and keep allowing God to use you. Because I admire you, Rosalind. I look up to you a lot. I watch you. I admire the tenacity that you have to keep going, even when I know you have faced some horrible storms, but I admire, yeah, your tenacity to keep it moving. And just keep doing what you're doing, and you haven't seen anything yet. God is not through with you. Just getting started.
Yes, the Lord. Yes, thank you. Thank you for those words of encouragement, Pastor Ware. I do appreciate that. So we're going to wrap up tonight. We have about 2 minutes left. So I just want to thank our special guest, Pastor Boyd, Murray, Co-Pastor Ware. Thank you so much. You ladies are phenomenal. When I think of you, you are remarkable, extraordinary, and the way to a phenomenal life that only you can manifest, and the greatness that you were created to do is just be yourself. Just be yourself. That's what God wants. That's what the Creator wants. So continue to be great. Thank you for all of our listeners. I really appreciate all of your time. If anyone inspires to be a guest speaker on the Detour Radio Show, please email me at whatisyourdetour@gmail.com, or you may call me at 972-292-8544. Again, my name is Rosalind Terrell, and I am your host of the Detour Radio Show. Thank you, all of my special guests.
Can I say something in closing?
Thanks, everybody.
Please?
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.